This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Roy and I both saw this exactly at the same time. It's from Blogging the Boys. And it details how the Cowboys have a major, major, major disadvantage. And I don't say major, but they have a disadvantage that nobody else really has to deal with in the NFC East. The Cowboys have to face two teams next year coming off a bye. That's not always easy. Now, the Cowboys faced the Eagles last year when the Eagles were coming off a bye. They do the same thing with Philadelphia again this year. They face Philadelphia when the Eagles are coming off a bye, so the Eagles get extra rest, extra preparation. What kills the Cowboys this year is that they get the Eagles off a bye, and the Cowboys are coming off a game on Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
So they're on a short week, which, by the way, should never happen. You should never face a team coming off a bye when you play a short week. You just shouldn't. The NFL is all about parity, all about making things right and fair. That's not fair. You also should never face a team coming off a bye when you're coming off a road game. Shouldn't happen. Shouldn't happen. You should never play a Thursday night game coming off a road game.
I like these stipulations.
Okay, these are fairly simple. Make it simple, make it easy, make it fair for everybody. Well, the Cowboys not only have to face the Philadelphia Eagles when they're coming off a bye, they also have to face the Tennessee Titans when they're coming off a bye. Now, fortunately for the Cowboys, they have to face Tennessee when they're also coming off a bye themselves. The Cowboys have a bye that week.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys are the only, they have to face two teams where
two playoff teams, and that's the key here.
That's the key.
There are other teams who have to face two opponents coming off a bye. In fact, the Colts will have to play three opponents coming off of a bye this season. But as RJ Ochoa points out, and he's a really good follow on Twitter, I highly recommend it at Blogging the Boys or at RJ Ochoa because he does some really good work. This one he found that several playoff teams from last season are benefiting by not having to play any teams coming off of a bye.
You ready for this list?
It's insane.
Philadelphia does not face a team coming off a bye. Playoffs. Green Bay does not face a team coming off a bye. They are a perennial playoff contender. Minnesota, Carolina, Arizona, Buffalo, playoffs, Pittsburgh, playoffs, Houston, potentially playoffs, and Denver. None of those teams have to play a team coming off a bye week. The Cowboys, meanwhile, play two playoff teams from last year coming off a bye week. And one of those playoff teams is Philadelphia, whom the Cowboys, again, will play on a short week because they played a Monday night game the week before. So, I'm sorry, that's just patently insane and unfair. It is ridiculous that they would have to do this.
Well, it's just frustrating that they haven't come to a consensus about deciding all these little differentiations in the schedule. Like, we go out of our way. We know basically from year to year the entire list of Cowboys opponents anyway, outside of two. I mean, the AFC and the NFC rotates year by year, and you play two teams inside your conference that finish at the same position as you did the season before in their own divisions. So that's all set up, but when you look at it and you see that the Cowboys not only have to play two teams coming off of a bye, contrary to some teams who only have to play one or none, they have to play two teams coming off of a bye in consecutive weeks, which three other teams in the NFL have to deal with. And then they have to play them, as you mentioned, on a Monday night, coming off of a Monday night game.
Yeah,
which
that's
is
the problem.
Incredibly frustrating, especially when they talk about parity and it's built in to like give the teams that have finished lower a chance the next season. Well, that's not the case here. the Cowboys and the Eagles specifically, the Eagles are given an advantage. As Dallas is the only team that has to face two playoff teams coming off their byes, the Eagles face none.
Yeah, and look, the other thing is, I understand that you can't please everyone with this. You just can't do it. But it is I would imagine you could fairly simply put it into the algorithm that makes the schedule to not have, you know, if every team doesn't have to face teams coming off a bye, then nobody should have to face teams coming off a bye. It's just that simple. Either make it so everybody does.
Well, you can't make it so no one. I mean, then you wouldn't play. You wouldn't be able to have a schedule.
You can't have discrepancies like this in a schedule where teams in your division have no such games where teams are coming off a bye week and other teams have two.
You know what they need to do? They need to coordinate bye weeks within the division.
Right.
The
NFC East is off this week.
Or the Cowboys and Eagles have a bye in week 5 and they play in week 6. Like, and just set it up where at some point in the season, two division mates get a bye and then they play each other the following
week.
It seems like it would be a no-brainer.
All these divisions are 14 divisions. You can have the entire division off this week.
At minimum, just an article between the two of us. If we collaborated between the two of us, I bet we could get that done.
What?
On some suggestions. Oh, because it's amazing that they don't have this written out. That teams, you know, they have it written out that, you know, the East Coast to West Coast thing. There's something written in there, right? About not having to play two games in like that are three time zones apart within 2 weeks?
You see teams, they'll just stay out on the West Coast.
Okay.
Right? You'd see that. Like they'll play like the Raiders in San Francisco in back to back weeks. They just stay out. I mean, that's happened before.
Mm-hmm.
Or Seattle and San Fran. It makes no sense that some teams have to deal with this and some teams don't. It's just not fair. It's a disadvantage. And there is no way to say that playing a team coming off a bye week does not put you in some disadvantage. That other team is flat out more rested. That's it. They are. That's a fact. They're more rested. Now, they may not be as healthy because every injury is different, but they are 100% more rested. And you can't tell me that rest doesn't play a factor in sports. It does.
I agree with you. I mean, I agree with that sentiment. We will have one notorious fan text in and say to us that there's no proven evidence that a team plays definitively better after their bye week. But I think, I mean, just ask them. Just talk to them. Hey, does it feel better to play a game after your bye week? I feel like to a man, NFL players say, oh, yeah, because that 1 week is critical to rest and recovery. Because all these guys are playing with nicks. I mean, don't get it twisted. Just because we get an injury report and there's guys listed, every single one of them is playing with some type of bruise or strain or something that they're fighting through. And you can't tell me that an extra week to rest those nagging injuries doesn't play a huge role in it.
Play. It does. I think it does. I think it plays a pretty big role. That's just me. I mean, I could be way off on this one. But I think it does play a pretty big role.
I don't think you're too far off. Wanted to get into some other football news to discuss. I don't know if you saw the list that I sent you of the college football head coach rankings. And I wanted to go through some of the local teams here in DFW because I was interested. Dennis Dodd put this together on CBSSports.com. And just a list of all the coaches in Division I football. All right, with their jobs on the line in 2018, who's on the hot seat? And he did a rating system. 0 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
0 is untouchable. 5 is win or be fired. And then everything kind of in between. From 3, pressure is mounting. 4, start improving now. As I said, 5, win or be fired. And I was interested in some of the local coaches on this list. All right?
Mm-hmm.
What would you guess between 0 and 5... he would have Gary Patterson rated out of TCU between untouchable and win or be fired?
Oh, 0 or 1.
He's untouchable.
Yeah.
0 is Gary Patterson, who has been spectacular at TCU.
As he should be. I mean, he's got a, he's got statues and streets going to be named after him. I mean, he's untouchable.
I agree. He can write his check there at TCU. Yeah. Matt Rhule down at Baylor.
I'd say he is at a 3.
Okay, close. He's a 2. He's a 2. So still fairly entrenched, but close enough to where he might be on the cusp of Lincoln Riley.
I would put 0. 1. Sorry, 1.
Good answer. He's at a 1. Yeah. Not a 0, not untouchable, but he was a 2 last year, right on the cusp because he was getting started and obviously had the ring endorsement from Bob Stoops, but he proved himself. I think had proved his worth with his offensive system last year. UT's Tom Herman, between untouchable and win or lose your job.
I'm going to say he is a... Boy, they don't win this year. Natives are going to get restless. I'm going to say he's a 3.
He's a 2.
Okay.
He's a 2 there. And I could see where he could be a 3. You're right. The fans are restless there. But at the same time, I still feel like he's got at least 2 years in the bag, no matter what happens. And so you got to feel pretty comfortable with him. I think that's a good rating. Texas A&M coach, new head coach, Jimbo Fisher.
Well, they're paying him $70 million, so I'm going to say it's pretty dang untouchable.
About as untouchable as you can be. He's a 1. He's right up at the top. So look, all the local teams, Gary Patterson, 0. Jimbo Fisher, 1. Tom Herman, 2. And again, this rating system from Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com, just has a system based on who he thinks what coaches in college football are on the hot seat. All 129 FBS coaches. He has 6 rated as win or be fired.
What about Coach Bro? We didn't talk about him yet.
I was waiting for him. Again, 5 is win or be fired. 4, start improving now. 3, pressure is mounting. 2, all good for now. 1, safe and secure. 0, untouchable. Where is Coach Bro?
Man, he's got to be at least a 4. I don't think he's going to get fired. I'll say a 4, 3 or 4.
That is exactly where they got him. 4. And as such, one of the hottest seats in the country. Here's what he wrote about Cliff Kingsbury. Kingsbury made the top 5 here in our 2017 hot seat rankings. Not much has changed since last year. Kingsbury hasn't posted a winning Big 12 record in any of his 5 seasons. The program is just kind there after back-to-back 5-7 regular season campaigns. It would be nice if Tech won the state of Texas. Fat chance, he writes. Texas is improving in year 2 under Tom Herman. TCU is solid number 2 pick behind favorite Oklahoma in the Big 12. Defense remains a problem for Kingsbury, even in the Big 12, where defense is sometimes an option. The Red Raiders moved up from dead last in total defense to 105th last year. Hooray. He writes, if Kingsbury doesn't make marked improvement this season with 10 returning starters on defense, perhaps he deserves the big haircut. He has lost 6 of his last 8 games and 13 of his last 21. It's hard to believe Baker Mayfield used to play in Lubbock.
Ugh. Oh, man.
So will Coach Bro, you say you're not sure he'll be fired. Will he be fired in season?
No. I'm not going to fire him in season.
Would it be a mistake for them to fire him considering the profile that he's given Texas Tech, even though the results clearly haven't been there?
I mean, what profile is he giving them? Mike Leach gave him just as big a profile, if not more, did he not? What profile is Coach Bro giving him?
I don't know. I feel like
he's a pirate.
Well, Mike Leach is tough to... He's tough to combat, for sure.
Yeah.
But Coach Bro made Texas Tech cool. I mean, he made...
Man, I've been to Lubbock. It's hard to make that place cool. He's done a decent job of doing it. But, I mean, you've got to win at some point. Mike Leach made it fun, too. I don't know. I don't know that I would say that Kingsbury's done anything to raise the profile of Texas Tech. It's in retrospect of the schools around here, and I'm going to include Oklahoma as well. What Division I major Power 5 school is it ahead of? It's not ahead of A&M or Texas or TCU or Oklahoma. It's not as ahead of Oklahoma State. Of the Power Fives, what's it ahead of? It's not. And that's the problem with it. It's just and really, I mean, honestly, truthfully, it probably never has been sustained in terms of being ahead of the other ones. It's just, you know, it doesn't have the history the rest of them have outside of Oklahoma State. It really
can't. Really, right?
I mean, you can, like, I find it hard to believe that you can't take Texas talent and win. I mean, you could find a ways to win. Mike Leach had him at, you know, in the top three.
Yep.
You can find ways to do it. It's just going to be more difficult.
Fair enough. For those asking, Oklahoma State's Mike Gundy to round out the Big 12. He is ranked at one, so his job's pretty secure. And Houston Cougars head coach Major Applewhite at a three. So not great, but right on the cusp of being in trouble there.
Yeah, and SMU's brand new, so nothing's going to happen.
Yeah, that's the hot coach seat rankings from Dennis Dodd, CBSSports.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.